From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 16th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Three university programs have made announcements about the future of GIS education. Two schools are working closely with GIS software vendors, while a third is implementing a self-study lab complete with badges to show achievement. Are these positive trends? Will they be repeated at other schools? We'll share our take after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Now, first off, let me list the three schools making these announcements. We've got Claremont Graduate University, we've got UNIGIS, and we've got American Sentinel University. And just as a starting point, Joe, how familiar are you with these schools that all have GIS programs?
I was familiar, obviously, with American Sentinel University. UNIGIS, as a consortium, I was not familiar with, but obviously I was familiar with some of the schools in the consortium. And Claremont, I was not at all familiar with.
And I think that probably would be reflected in at least the U.S. folks involved in GIS. We're very familiar with American Sentinel. They do a lot of advertising. They're very active in putting out press releases and so forth. UNIGIS tends to be more European, and I see its ads in the European publications, but not so much in the U.S. And the Claremont Graduate University, I only know of because of their past relationship with the SRI, which they talk about in the most recent announcement. So we've got three very different kinds of organizations. And what I want to do is have a look at what they're doing now in 2013 and see how we think that's going to go and the implications for that for GIS education and maybe other education as well. So let's start off with the announcement from Claremont Graduate University. And let me just quote the press release. Under the three-year agreement, ESRI and CGU will provide scholarships for at least three ESRI employees to begin a CGU master's or doctoral degree program per year. Additionally, ESRI and CGU will engage in collaborative research and initiate a clinic program utilizing resources from several CGU programs. And it goes on to detail those programs. Information systems and technology, Graduate School of Management, and the Institute of Mathematical Sciences. And it's worth knowing that CGU was selected as ESRI's first ESRI Development Center, EDC, back in 2008. ESRI sponsors an annual achievement award for the university, and that there are already eight CGU students who are currently working for or interning at ESRI. So there's already a relationship there. Does this announcement take it further? What are the benefits to both parties?
Well, clearly it's a very nice gesture to have ESRI employees provided the opportunity for scholarships. I think that's a great collaborative thing to do between a private company and a university. I think that furthers the engagement, and I think it provides a nice way for feedback. Is the university doing its job? Is the private company, ESRI in this case, providing the right tool set to the students that need to acquire a certain level of education? So I think it certainly is a mutual benefit in many regards. And I think that this partnership really has the opportunity to be a model for other private companies, other software companies doing having a relationship with an educational institution.
Which parts of it do you think are most valuable? The scholarship aspect, the research aspect?
There are several levels, and that's what I think what this announcement is doing. I think the research one is a unique one. I hadn't heard about that one before. Typically, what software vendors do is they give software away, there's some support involved, and it's up to the universities to kind of build a curriculum around whatever software is delivered. You know, this goes a little bit of a step further in that relationship. I mentioned the one about the scholarships. The research, I think, is somewhat new as well. I think we tend to have a little bit of a disjointed structure between a software vendor and a university. This area where there's research involved, I think, furthers that, and I think it should be furthered because I think there are definite mutual benefits.
Yeah, I'm interested as to whether people will be more interested in working for ESRI knowing that these scholarship opportunities are there, and I'm wondering if more students will be interested in Claremont Graduate University knowing that there is this relationship with ESRI and the potential for future employment.
I think it's a good selling point for Claremont to do that, if they haven't already.
Okay, let's move on to UniGIS, which, as you mentioned, is a consortium of schools that provides advanced GIS degrees online. And the schools are all in Europe, is that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
That's my understanding as well. And so we're somewhat less familiar with that here in the States. So the announcement from UniGIS is actually from Intergraph says that UniGIS selected Intergraph's geospatial education offerings to provide leading GIS remote sensing and photogrammetry tools to its universities and enrolled students. UniGIS, a network of universities cooperating in the design and delivery of distance learning in GIS, was founded in 1990 and currently includes sites in 14 countries. So this is basically a statement of UniGIS is using Intergraph software, and now that is a much broader suite than it used to be. I dug around a little bit, and if you look at the UniGIS website and their announcement, what they make clear is that they're actually renewing their relationship with Intergraph, which they've had for some time, in part because of the changes through Intergraph of being public and then being private and reorganizing. So I'm sure there was some paperwork and other things that needed to be sort of caught up on. And I think the interesting thing about UniGIS too is if you go and look at the list of technology partners that they have, there are about 7 or 8 software players in there, including ESRI and Safe Software and Bentley and Intergraph. And I think that should be a real selling point right there.
Oh, absolutely. I looked at that list as well, and if there's anything that a university should provide, it's that access to a variety of tools. And if you're going to focus on GIS, which has got its own ecosystem of solutions that need to be integrated, wow, what a great lab to establish from all of these vendors and for the students to play around with them and get to have a very unique learning environment. I think the other element here is this is a distance learning program. So they're not only offering it, it's not only the distance learning from a single school, which we often see, it's distance learning from a consortium, which I think I've never heard of before. Maybe you have, but I think that's a unique selling point as well.
Right. And this is old.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not 1990. That's very early for distance learning, which, and I assume back in 1990, it was not web-based. It was more
on-premise.
Either on-premise or via mail or other technologies. So yeah, this is a really interesting one. I think it would behoove the folks at UniGIS to sort of really advertise the fact that you're going to have access to all of these different sets of technology. Now, what I'm curious about from an education standpoint is, do you only use some of those technologies if you take some specific classes? Or are those available to any student? If they want to do a project, they can just pick any one of those pieces of software and use it?
I'd like to hear what UniGIS has to say and how they're developing their curriculum, whether they've selected a specific tool for a particular research topic or course. Did they find one tool any more useful to them than another?
And then perhaps how do they make that selection? And
yeah, what's the criteria for selection? Why does GeoMedia get selected over ArcGIS for this course, for example?
Right, right. And I think this sort of ties into something that I felt very strongly about in education and went so far as to actually write and teach a course at Penn State called Comparative GIS. And the goal of that was really just to expose students to a variety of packages. The course was incredibly difficult. My students will tell you that. We covered, I think, 5 desktop packages in 10 weeks. So they had to learn them. They had to learn how to use them. They had to do projects with them. But they all came out saying that their level of confidence as they went, these were professionals already, but returned to the workforce, they pretty much felt like they could pick up, throw any piece of software at them, and they could figure it out and use it and evaluate it, whether it was the correct one for that particular purpose. I mean, if somebody can come in an interview and say, I've already touched all these pieces of software and I can teach myself any others, boy, that's the person I want to hire.
Yeah, I think that would be a very unique exercise. I doubt if many schools engage in that. But if we're training the workforce in a variety of different disciplines with a variety of tools, I think you need to expose them to that. And that brings up an issue I wanted to address, which is, are we really training the students to address just learning the software product, or are we really training them to address the problems of the day? You know, the big global issues, national security, climate change, energy independence, all of these things have as a fundamental aspect of it geospatial information. And I just hope the schools are putting the emphasis in the right place. I just don't want them to be button pushers. I want them to understand the problem. I want them to engage in a discussion about the problem and then use the tools. If you start off addressing a problem from a technology point of view, you're going to go the wrong direction. You're going to say, well, you're going to ask different questions within a curriculum.
You mean if you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail?
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. Yeah, so if that's my only tool, I'm going to pound away at something that may need a velvet glove rather than a hammer.
What you're really leading up to is a terrific piece of advice to folks selecting a program of study, and that's don't just look at what pieces of software they're using, but look at how the curriculum is structured. Is it sort of problem-based? I mean, if it's technology-based, like you're going to take a course in GeoMedia 101, is that what you really want, and is that going to provide you the best experience as you move into your future career?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you two instances that happened just this week. I spoke to an individual yesterday who sought my advice. He was a mid-career professional wanting to know whether he should, A, get a certificate in GIS, or B, go back for a full master's in GIS. And this individual had been in sales and marketing, and he was looking to further his skill set to lead him to the next point in his career. And, you know, my advice was hopefully somewhat practical, which is if you're wanting to stay in the marketing and sales end, then maybe a GISP is worth having. We're seeing it on more job announcements.
Now, wait a minute. You said to get a certificate or a certification?
Well, so therein lies the rub, right? There's certificate, there's certification, and there's full-blown degree level. You know, my advice to him was, depending on what his goal was for that next level. And I think what he was trying to evaluate was whether he needed additional skills. And he was almost tending the conversation towards, well, maybe I need to learn this piece of GIS, or I need to get more of an advanced degree. And again, my advice is, what do you want to do?
And that's a great question to put to, again, a university program of, you know, I want to have this kind of role. I want to be a programmer. I want to be a manager. I want to be in marketing and sales. How do I get there, and what set of skills do I need, and which kind of program is for me, and do I need that extra stamp of approval that is a certification, say, from the GIS
and I'll
Certification
mention one,
Institute?
Yeah, and I mentioned one other a situation I had this week. I had the opportunity to visit the Missile Space and Intelligence Command this week that sits here on Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. Now, this agency is a rather... It's one of our intelligence agencies. It's part of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA. And you can imagine that these folks are a little bit busy these days with North Korea threatening to launch a missile. And what struck me was something that the director said. He says, you know, we tackle very difficult problems, and geospatial technology is the on-ramp to many of these problems. You know, he's dealing with cybersecurity and you know, image analysis and all of the things that would go along with looking for missiles. And it made me think that they've got a really big problem. I mean, they have to integrate a lot of technology, and they have to have some really highly trained individuals. And given our topic of today, it made me question whether we are truly educating our student body who are in geospatial information systems with the right tools, with the right tool set to address some of these big problems, to get a job at a place that deals with some incredible integration issues.
What do you think might be missing?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. It's an interdisciplinary problem that I think that they were addressing. Now, they have some very specific technicians, professionals. They have NGA folks on site that deal with the image analysis and geoint part of the problem. But I got the feeling that at different levels of their organization that they deal with things that are of a more difficult nature. They're constantly addressing, as I said, cyber threats. And so, not knowing the inner workings of MISIC, I would love to understand better what the teams of professionals do to address some of these interdisciplinary problems. So I can't answer your question directly, but I know that some of those big problems and challenges are there that this agency has.
Okay, the last school I want to talk about is American Sentinel University. And their announcement has more to do with pedagogy than relationships in particular. So the university is starting a geospatial learning lab as part of its new online master's in geographic information. It's a forum where students can interact with instructors and each other in an active learning community. They'll get access to additional material, including advanced tutorials and case studies, GIS data downloads, and geospatial innovations. And they're using a series of technologies, including things like VoiceThread and Yammer. And associated with this is a badging program. And let me quote the press release. To better track achievement, students receive badges to signify increased competency, like university's equivalent of scouting merit badges. There are three levels of badges, basic, intermediate, and advanced, and students can gain them in six concept groups: basic calculations, geospatial data management, geoprocessing, raster modeling, and 3D analysis, remote sensing and imagery, and spatial statistics. Students incorporate their badges into an e-portfolio that documents each student's academic process through their studies. Now, the idea of a learning lab isn't new. We certainly had those in the residential university for some time. Online ones are somewhat newer. Badges aren't really new, but they sort of came and went, and maybe now they're coming back in this new realm as sort of a measure of competency. So I thought this was a really interesting innovation in GIS learning. I certainly haven't heard of any other schools doing it, and so I'm very curious to see how this is going to play out.
Yeah, I think it was a great concept myself, because, and I don't know if this is a generational thing, but I think the need for more immediate feedback, and whether it's implemented through badges or whatever type of quizzing or testing is necessary, I think that really helps the student, and I think it encourages them at set intervals along the learning path. You know, typical traditional learning of quizzes and tests doesn't quite cut it anymore, in particular in this era of asynchronous communication and education, as American Sentinel is doing. I think the need for more immediate feedback and these levels of proficiency and the way they're delivering the levels, I think, is very, very innovative.
I like the fact that there are levels. I like the idea that there are different concept areas, and maybe that'll help you figure out where you're strongest, where you're weakest, where you need extra help, what kind of extra help is going to get you to that next level. So from a pedagogic standpoint, lots of potential here. The other thing that I think is really interesting about this learning lab is the integration of more communications technologies. So VoiceThread, for example, is a cloud-based audio or text, although the audio is far more interesting, way of creating threaded discussions. And I've used it in my teaching and found it, it's just so wonderful to be able to speak to one another in an asynchronous fashion. So in a sense, you're sort of leaving messages for one another within the class. And Yammer, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Yammer, it's basically an internal communications tool like Twitter, but it's inside as opposed to public. How those are going to be played out, we'll see. Actually, Dr. McElroy, who's the head of the program there, gave a paper about this at the AAG this past week, and we will have an interview with him in the coming week or so with more details about this program. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the Esri International User Conference will be held July 8th to the 12th in San Diego, California. Attend the conference to learn about the latest innovations in the ArcGIS platform, mobile applications, cloud computing, and 3D technology. Visit esri.com/UC for more information and to register. And from us here at Directions Magazine, we invite you to attend our Location Intelligence and the Oracle Spatial and Graph User Conference May 21st and 22nd in Washington, D.C. Two great conferences in one great location. Or, if you can't make it to D.C., join us by webcast. This year, we are webcasting the entire event. For more details about attending on-site or virtually, go to locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted @directionsmagazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.